Well, good evening. Thanks for joining us tonight at Metropolitan Baptist Church. If you could please grab your hymnal, let's stand and turn to hymn number 132. Hymn number 132. Am I a soldier of the cross? Let's sing it out on the first.
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to win his cause, or blush to speak his name?
Must I be carried to the skies on the second?
Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fly to win the prize and sail through bloody seas?
Really watch the words on that third.
Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this far world a friend to grace, to help me on to God?
And the resolution on the last.
Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toll, endure the pain, supported by thy word.
Amen. Thanks for singing.
Amen. Want you to meet a Baptist elephant. Charlie May said that must be a Baptist elephant because he's got a long nose. So I guess if the snout fits, wear it or something there. But isn't that neat? That come from South Africa, and it doesn't even say made in China on the bottom. It's a genuine article, and I thank David for bringing that back to me. Well, it's good to have David back this evening, and he's got about 3 days. And Thursday, he leaves for Mexico. So if you're going to visit with him, you need to visit with him in a hurry. He's a man on the move. Well, it's good to be here tonight. And sure, a blessing to be with you, God's people. And you be praying for the Word of God tonight, that it would speak to our hearts indeed. Let's take a couple minutes and welcome each other. Shake some hands and say hello to your brothers and sisters in Christ.
If you could head back to your seats yet again and stand, turning to hymn number 351. Hymn number 351. Wherever he leads, I'll go. What a beautiful song. Are we willing to go wherever with the Lord this evening? Let's sing it on the first.
Day. thy cross and follow me. I heard thy master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever
now, these words take real commitment. So as you sing the second, sing it to the Lord and tell him wherever he leads. Wherever you lead, I'll go. Let's sing on the second.
He drew me closer to his side. I sought his will to know. And in that will I now.
Really mean it.
Wherever he leads, I'll go. Tell, follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. It may be through shadows dim or o'er the stormy sea, I take my cross and follow him. Wherever he leadeth me, wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I go.
I chose this song because being Memorial Day, or the celebration of it here, you know, those soldiers that go out, they're willing to go wherever their country needs them and sacrifice whatever the cost. And some of us, we can't go out to Afghanistan or to Iraq, but we can go for the Lord. And are we willing to go wherever he leads and give up whatever it costs? Let's sing it out with conviction on the last.
My heart, my life, my whole I bring to Christ who loves me so. He is my master, Lord, and King. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Let's stand one last time and turn to hymn number 218. Hymn number 218. Living for Jesus. Let's sing it out on the first.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne, my life to give henceforth to Christ for Thee alone.
All right, this is a low one, and my voice is tired, so you've got to compensate for me. Ha, ha, ha. Let's sing it out on the last. Living for Jesus through earth's little while. On the last.
Living for Jesus through earth's little while. My dearest treasure, the light of smile, seeking the lost ones, He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Him. Our Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I am no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne, my life to I give henceforth to live. O Christ, for Thee our Lord.
Thanks for singing. You may be seated.
Well, gentlemen, if y'all take your places, we'll get ready to receive this evening's offering. Go over a few announcements tonight. And immediately after church, we will be having a youth activity. We call it the snack night. And sixth graders and their parents are also invited, the ones who's going from sixth grade into seventh grade. And all parents, we'd like to see y'all tonight also. We'll also be talking about the finals of the camp, the particulars and what money might be owed left, and little rules and regulations and do's and don'ts and what fors and stuff like that. So it is a very important meeting. All the parents from sixth grade up, please be there. Ladies' planning meeting is going to be Thursday. That's going to be at 7 o'clock. Teachers meeting, 7 o'clock on Tuesday. I got it out of order there. Folks, if you're teaching Sunday school or have a Wednesday night class, we need to be there for that one. TTU graduation is June 1st. Youth camp is right around the corner the week of June 9th. Please be praying for us on that. Directory pictures, June 21st. We're going to be setting aside that day to just say, hey, make your appointment. Let's come take our pictures for those who need retakes or who's not in the directory at all. We got a lot of new members, thank the Lord. So got corner bookstores fixing to be opened up real soon. Andrew, we're doing okay on that? Got lots of help hollering at you yet? Hey, he needs some help. Somebody holler at him. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, thank you for the wonderful message you've given this morning, Lord, through our pastor. Lord, thank you for our pastor who will boldly speak that and tell us the truth and preach your word on that, Lord. Lord, right now we're asking to be at the offering by to receive, be it the gift and the giver, and again, be it him tonight as he preaches, hide him behind the cross. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Lovely ladies, appreciate it. As Curtis mentioned, a couple of those announcements I want to echo a little bit, if you don't mind. Next Sunday night will be TTU graduation, and we have seven folks that are receiving degrees from associates up through master's degrees, and they've worked very hard, and I'm proud of them and for the work they've done and the effort they've put forth to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to better equip themselves to be servants here and wherever God would have them. So I encourage you to be here to support them next Sunday evening. Also have the privilege of having one of my heroes going to be here next Sunday night, and that's Brother Milton Martin. And he will be in coming in next Sunday afternoon and then spending the night Sunday night and leaving for Mexico on Monday with Bruce and Provy and Bruce's younger brother, Benjamin. And so we asked him if he would please speak for us next Sunday night, and he consented to do that. So I'm looking forward to that. The opportunities to have Milton Martin stand behind this holy desk are fewer and fewer. So we want to take advantage of that. Also, as was mentioned, the bookstore with Brother Andrew is working on that and worked very hard on it. And when we are asking for helpers, volunteers, what we need are folks that will be willing to man that bookstore at different times. It'll be open before the services, in between the services on Sunday and Sunday evening, and by appointment as well, as if there's something you need. So if you'd like to be involved or help with that in any ways, please talk to Andrew, and he'll get you informed about everything you need about what's going on with that ministry as well. Well, I came in this evening and realized that I didn't prepare an outline for the guys in the back to have for the slides, and I realized that when I sat down, so you're without that this evening. But if you would be turning this evening to Hebrews chapter 13, I don't think it would hurt for us to go ahead and start in Psalm 23, I don't know about you. I hope you never grow weary of these beautiful words from Psalm 23. Mention those me thoughts this morning from that psalm, and I had gone through my Psalm 23 in my Bible the other day and highlighted the me's. There's seven of them in those mere six verses. And again, as we said this morning, it speaks to us that we have a shepherd who cares about us. He's interested and involved in the life of his flock and the individual sheep as well. If you find your place both in Psalm 23 and Hebrews chapter 10, and stand with me, I should have said, did I say Hebrews 13? It's Hebrews 13. It was John 10 this morning. Thank you. Psalm 23, and then we'll go to Hebrews. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, once again, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight. Thank you for these precious, beautiful words from the lips of David, directed through thy Holy Spirit. We trust that in these messages, we would exalt our Lord, who is our shepherd. Father, this evening, as we would look at him as in his roles as the great shepherd and chief shepherd, we pray that you'd be pleased to give understanding and illumination. Please, Father, might your word speak to our hearts. Above all and in all, might we give him glory. It's in Jesus' name, for his glory we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, we'd be seated. Reading Hebrews chapter 13. Just two verses there in Hebrews chapter 13. Reading in verses 20 and 21. It says, "Now the God of peace that brought you again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, who the blood of the everlasting covenant make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And may God make it so. Well, we continue this evening to look at that loving care we mentioned a moment ago of our shepherd, the Lord our shepherd, Jesus Christ, and that loving care that he provides for his sheep. Now, this morning, we rejoiced in what our good shepherd has accomplished for us, and that he gave his life for the sheep, literally sacrificed himself, dying in our place as our sacrifice, dealing with the penalty of sin. Well, this evening we continue and look at Jesus Christ as the great shepherd spoken of here in Hebrews chapter 13. We need to understand that sin not only has a penalty that had to be paid, but it has a power that must be broken. So we want to look at this evening how the great shepherd has broken the power of sin in his sheep. That power of sin that held us in its control and in its grips. Aren't you thankful this evening just with the knowledge that you've got a shepherd who would break that power for you, that indeed you will be enabled to live for him, live for God through Christ Jesus? Well, first of all, we just want to see how that the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, saves from the power of sin. We understand, hopefully we understand, that no man has the ability to set himself free from sin's bondage, from sin's power in our lives. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes there, and he says, "For when ye were the servants of sin," speaking of that time before we were saved, and in fact that word servant has to deal with the idea of slavery. And indeed, in our lost condition, we are slaves to sin. "For when ye were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness," or we didn't have that righteousness of Christ. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, there the Apostle Paul goes on and he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual," but then he confesses, "But I am carnal, sold under sin." The idea of the word sold, that thought there, is to be sold in the market. And the idea is, goes on further to mean to become a servant, to be sold into servitude. Well, we see there is this power, this bondage of sin that needs to be broken. And that indeed, beloved, as slaves to sin, I'll get it spit out here yet tonight. We do not have the ability to free ourselves from that bondage. But I'm thankful the great shepherd is able, and that he indeed is the only deliverance from sin's power. God didn't see fit. Wouldn't have been nice if this had been the case. But God did not see fit in his perfect wisdom to remove our sin nature when we were saved. No, he doesn't simply take it away or remove it when we receive Christ as our Savior and when that penalty of sin was taken care of. We all still have that power of sin lurking within us. And it's very important that we be continually aware of its presence. The Apostle Paul himself confessed that he battled that old sin nature, the principle of sin that works in us even as believers. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul says this. For he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." He goes on to say, "For the will is present with me." The idea is that there's still that unsaved principle, that lost principle, that sinful nature that is at work in our lives. "For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." This battle that even the Apostle Paul dealt with. In the 24th verse of that chapter, we hear the passion of this cry. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" We can sense the battle that even the Apostle Paul fought with his own flesh and the sin nature that still existed there. But secondly, that sin principle, that sin nature cannot be suppressed. It cannot be suppressed. What do you mean by that? It's not something, beloved, that we can control in ourselves, in and of ourselves. Paul acknowledges, as we read here, that weakness of the flesh. It is susceptible to that sin nature. In resolving to do better or being a better person, just won't do the job. We turn over a new leaf, and it's not long we find out that the other side of the leaf was just as rotten as the top side. We make resolutions to quit our drinking and our smoking, our lying and our gossiping, and you name it. But before long, we find ourselves falling back to some of those things. It's just like the old steam kettle. When the heat's brought to bear, sooner or later, the whistle will blow, the top will blow. And so it is with that sin nature that resides within us. You know, just as an example, and I hope you understand what I mean by this. You know, we try in some ways to accomplish this with our young people, or in some places anyway. We keep them busy, going from one entertainment to the next. But that does not change the fact that our young people need a work of God's grace in their life to change them. You can't change from the outside in. Is it important to bring them into proper influence and keep them, you know, involved in the right kind of things? Oh, sure. Don't make me preach both sides of that thing. But we cannot avoid the point that, hey, there's got to be a work of God take place. Sin's power must be dealt with. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be able to tell you tonight that our shepherd has done just that. Sin's power must be dealt with by a liberation that takes place. The only way to have victory over sin's power is the power of God working in you. God delivers. from sin's power by changing the sinner. He does it by liberating us, liberating, setting free the believer. Now, let me read those verses again from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20, beginning at verse 20. He says, now the God of peace, aren't you thankful that he's a God of peace? God who made peace for us with himself. He's a God that gives peace to your heart and soul. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. What's that talking about? The resurrection, isn't it? Talking about the resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. That great shepherd, the word shepherd there is the word pastor, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. What's it pointing back to once again? His sacrifice, what he did for us, his death for our sin. But as we rejoice in every Lord's Day, he's not in the tomb. He's rose from the dead in power over death, in power over sin, victory over sin. In verse 21, this one, your great shepherd, through his sacrifice, through that everlasting covenant that he has made, he make you perfect in every good work. The word perfect in our King James Bible has the idea of being made complete. Here's the idea of being completely equipped, having everything you need. Now listen to it. Make you perfect or completely equipped in what? Every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And how does he do it? Through Jesus Christ. And it's to him. To him tonight, not to ourselves, not to our strength, not to our ability to live for God. No, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. God, make it so. So what do we come to the conclusion? It's the resurrection power, the power that gives life, that also breaks the power of sin. Power of sin. The great shepherd of our souls, we read here, is working. The idea of that word working means doing. He is working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Aren't you thankful that you're not here on your own tonight? Aren't you thankful that you don't have to go tomorrow and face this world in your own strength or abilities? That somehow you're going to hold up against the temptations, the trials, the battles, and the struggle that this world throws at you. No, beloved, it's him that is working in you to give you those victories, to enable you in this world to do what is well-pleasing in his sight. What does John tell us where the victory comes over sin? First John chapter 4 and verse 4, the declaration. Now listen to this. John's saying the same thing the Hebrew writer does. He says, greater is he that is in you. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What's John telling you? Your victory is in Jesus. Because Christ liveth in you. Thank you, Lord. God liberates here. God liberates that submitted believer and enables him then to live that well-pleasing life to God. Hallelujah. Takes the pressure off. Now, again, I don't want to give the wrong impression. It should be that heart's desire. So hopefully, when God saved you, he sowed to your heart that desire, that longing to give him glory, to indeed live well-pleasing in his sight. But without the Holy Spirit of God, without Christ living in you, you got more to do than you can do, beloved. It's more than you have the ability to accomplish. But it's a whole different story when Christ liveth in you to accomplish his glory and honor. Breaking that power. You heard me say this before. But that day, whenever it was, when you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior was the moment, the first time, you had the ability, the power to say no to sin. Why? Because you're set free. Liberated. Well, that's why that psalmist writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." God perfectly, completely equips us to do His will. Thank you, Lord, for being my great shepherd. My good shepherd and my great shepherd. But then we also see in the New Testament, and you can be turning to 1 Peter chapter 5, over a few pages to Peter's first letter, we see Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. Indeed, this is a beautiful, wonderful truth as well. 1 Peter chapter 5, the first three verses deal with the matter of under-shepherds or the elders of the church. But then in verse 4, Peter writes and he says, "And when the chief shepherd," who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ. "When the chief shepherd shall appear," when he returns, "he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." What's Peter talking about? What he's going to accomplish when he returns. When Christ, the chief shepherd, returns. Now again, just as a review. As good shepherd, Jesus Christ saves from the penalty of sin. He paid it all on our behalf. As the great shepherd, Jesus Christ saves from the power of sin, that we might live well-pleasing in His sight. But then as well here in 1 Peter chapter 5, we see Him as the chief shepherd. And beloved, though we have not yet received this, we will one day see Jesus Christ and how He saves from the presence of sin at His appearing. Well, to understand a little bit more about the chief shepherd, we need to understand the Oriental shepherd and how they labored. Sometimes the shepherds of the Holy Land worked together. Sometimes they would work as under the direction and leadership of a chief shepherd. They'd have a main camp or fold for the sheep, and each shepherd would have a flock that he was responsible for. Sometimes it'd be their own sheep, maybe the sheep of another man. But there would be a chief shepherd as well over the shepherds. And he had his responsibilities as well. He gave the other shepherds his counsel, his direction, his leadership. He superintended over the under-shepherds, or those shepherds who labored under his direction. Just as an example, to see that this was indeed the case, in the scriptures, in 1 Samuel chapter 21 in verse 7, if you're mindful, David had gone to see Abiathar the priest, and as he's there with Abiathar the priest, this other man comes in and he's introduced to us in verse 7. It says, "Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite." Now listen. "The chiefest of their herdmen that belonged to Saul." He was Saul's chief shepherd. He was that one who superintended over the shepherds of Saul. Now, we only give that example so that we can see that, yes, indeed, that was a very real position even in the Bible times. Well, our Bible presents Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd. He is the, underlining the, chief shepherd. Now, we also understand that our Savior, our Lord, our chief shepherd, has other shepherds. And the word in the scriptures for shepherd is shared, or it's the same word that we would translate pastor. Pastor simply means, that word pastor simply means a shepherd. The local church pastor or shepherd is an under-shepherd to the chief shepherd. And so the concept, we see the principle there, where the chief shepherd gives direction and leadership to his under-shepherds. Now, just as in the first century Oriental custom, where the chief shepherd gives the orders to the under-shepherds, and they obeyed his authority, Jesus Christ directs his under-shepherds, and they are to obey their chief shepherd. An under-shepherd that does not submit to the leadership of the chief shepherd disqualifies himself as then an under-shepherd. The chief shepherd, now listen to this, the chief shepherd didn't go directly to the sheep. He directed the sheep through the under-shepherds. That only makes sense, doesn't it? The under-shepherd submitted himself to the chief shepherd's direction. The under-shepherd didn't go out to the sheep and say, well, sheep, what do you want to do today? Didn't go out to the flock and say, well, let's take a vote. Nope. He wouldn't go call his sheep together and give them options for the day and ask their vote concerning it. You'd say, well, that's silly. Well, it sure is. He would not go to the sheep and say, well, now, sheep, there's good grass, but kind of poor water over here to the east. But there's real good water, but kind of fair grass over here to the west. Everybody that wants to go east, lift your right left leg, right rear leg. No, we say that's ridiculous. Well, you think about it. No, the shepherd got his direction from the chief shepherd. How important is it to pray for the under-shepherd? Hold him up before God, begging God, please, God, you keep him in your will. You direct him through your spirit. And then, by the way, Lord, don't let him. Please keep your hedge that he not fall. He's our shepherd. And your shepherd needs your prayers. I'd say that. Jesus Christ, now listen, we'll go on here. Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd, he who rules and reigns from heaven, will save his sheep from the presence of sin. Go on and make this connection here. It's not going to happen in this world. You say, oh, preacher, I was looking forward to that. Yes, oh my. Not happen in this world. This world is permeated with sin. This world, we understand, is dominated by sin. We don't have to look very hard to see that, do we? And as we shared in our Sunday school class this morning, even as we would move towards and closer to that call of our Lord, the last trump, things indeed are getting worse and worse. We understand that. But remember, as the great shepherd, Jesus Christ delivers from sin's power. He transforms and enables the believer to have victory over sin, even now in this world. But, thank you, Lord, but there is coming a day when he'll deliver his sheep from this sin-ridden world. And sin, you listening? Sin will be no more. Amen. When he returns, isn't that what we're talking about here? When the chief shepherd shall appear, when Christ returns, he'll save from the very presence of sin. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28, there it says, we read, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of man, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Beloved, when Jesus comes back, sin is finished. It'll be judged. The day is coming when the Son of God will permanently put the devil out of business. Amen indeed. In your reading, well, let's go there. In your reading, take note of this. Psalm 22, we see the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. Psalm 23, we see the great shepherd caring, supplying, tending to the sheep. And in the 24th Psalm, we see him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who rule and reign. If you found your place there in Psalm 24, pick up in verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Amen. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Huh? Isn't it amazing? Nothing's by chance in the Word of God. Even these beautiful pictures of the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, and Chief Shepherd falling in so beautifully as God has put his word together. My. Well, finally, as pertaining, we're here in 1 Peter, back in 1 Peter, look at chapter 2 with me, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2. Looking at his first coming, Christ's first coming. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. We read here, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us," gave his life for us, did he not, "as the good shepherd, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." What's he saying? Be prepared for persecution. Be prepared for suffering. Speaking of Jesus in verse 22, it says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, his own Father, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Hallelujah. When Jesus Christ appears the second time, when Jesus Christ returns, it will not be to deal with sin. That's been done. There will be judgment carried out. We understand that. We'll see that in a moment. It will not be again to die for sinners. That is accomplished. It is finished. As the song says, there won't be another Calvary. There will be no need for another Calvary. That work is done. Amen. That work is completed. At his return, the chief shepherd will banish sin. Stay with me here. At that time, everything is going to be restored to the proper order. Turn with me. Be turning, if you would, to the book of Revelation. At that time, at his return, he's going to put things back the way it ought to be. Restored to that which it was intended from the beginning. Now, I'm going to read some passages in these last few chapters of Revelation, beginning in chapter 20. So please stick with me here. In Revelation chapter 20, at his return, in verse 13, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Indeed, that final judgment for sin. But then, beloved, it is when we enter into chapter 21, it is as if the page is turned. Hallelujah. In verse 1, John goes on and he says, "And I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Talk about a whole new program here, beloved. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, put it down, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Well, beloved, skip down, if you would, in that same chapter to verse 23. Verse 23 of chapter 21. And listen to this. It says in verse 23, And the city had no need of the sun. Why? Neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is a light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. What's darkness speak of? Sin. There'll be no night there. No darkness. Wow. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Now listen to this. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. What's that saying? No more sin. No more sin. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There'll be no sin in glory. It'll be banished. We'll be delivered not only from the penalty and the power, but from the presence of sin. Those things we read about here in chapter 20, 21, of the sorrow and the tears, death, those are all the result of what? Sin. No more. Why? No more sin. It's banished. It's banished. Well, beloved, you know, I think I speak for all of us. I'm weary of sin's presence. I'm weary of sin's presence. I'm tired of seeing the destruction that sin causes. We see it every day, don't we? I hate the sin that continues to ruin lives, destroy homes, even communities and churches. Sin is ugly. Sin is awful. Sin destroys. But I'm thankful. I can report to you this evening that we have an all-sufficient Savior. An all-sufficient Savior. He's an all-sufficient shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He died to save us from sin's penalty, as we've seen. He is that great shepherd who rose from the dead to deliver from the power of sin, resurrection power. But I'm so thankful that he's also the chief shepherd who, when he appears, will deliver from the presence of sin. Wow. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And we'll probably talk about this more later on, but you understand what those last words mean, don't they? I shall not want. It means there'll be no lack. You will have everything in your shepherd, or you, I should say you do have everything in your shepherd that you could possibly need. David said, "He is my shepherd, and I do not want." You know, I read an illustration. I'll close with this and we'll be done. Read of an evangelist held a meeting in a church up in Missouri. And in that town was a miserable drunk. This horrible man beat his wife, was terrible to his children. He was so terrible that they were all afraid of him. He'd been a drunk so long that he didn't even know what it meant to be sober anymore. When that meeting, he got saved. God saved him. And of course, all the super spiritual and civilized church members chirped in and said, "Well, that won't last long." Aren't you thankful for those folks? 10 years later, the evangelist returned to that same town in Missouri. He was brought back to that church. The first man to meet him when he got to the church that night was that saved drunk. Saved 10 years. And the evangelist asked him, he says, "Well, how have you done it? How have you managed to hold on all these years?" The drunkard's first words to him, he says, "I haven't held on to anything." He says, "It wasn't me that held on." He said, he explained it very simply. Again, coming from a drunkard that lived in the gutter. He says, "I simply eat 3 meals a day to make me strong physically." He says, "I work hard to make the right kind of a living for my wife and my children." And he says, "I cling to the Lord moment by moment to make me strong spiritually. And since the day he saved me, it hasn't been me, it's been him. He's done it all." And isn't that the truth? Whether you're a drunkard or any other sinner, it's Jesus Christ. He's the one that takes us through. He's the one that saved us, delivered us again. Let me say it one more time. Delivered us from that penalty of sin. Delivered us from the power of sin. And one day, will enjoy his deliverance from the presence of sin. Thank you. The Lord is my shepherd. There's no want, there's no lack in him. Let's stand together. Father, we are so thankful for our shepherd tonight, the shepherd that you have given to us. Indeed, we rejoice in he that is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. We thank you that his care for us is absolutely, totally complete. There's no want in him, no lack of any good thing, but that our God and our shepherd supplies every need. Father, this evening, I don't know that in our presence tonight, there may be this one or that one, maybe several, that are battling in some way. Struggling, Father, with the cares of this world and the things that this world throws at us. Father, I pray that, Lord, they'd see that they've got a shepherd that loves them. A shepherd that cares about them and every need and every situation that's going on in their lives. That he's there to tend to their needs as a faithful shepherd would do. So this evening, Father, I just pray, Lord, would you take up where this preacher has failed? Take your word and apply it tenderly and beautifully to hearts this evening. Well, might we all, every one of us, go from this place just rejoicing in the wonderful labor and work of our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anybody here tonight that is without Christ, that's not saved, I pray that you'd communicate to them this evening how good your son is, how good our shepherd is, that he indeed laid down his life for them. Oh, Father, please, even tonight, don't let a single person leave this place without that peace and confidence that they know Jesus. We love you, Lord. Pray that even as we leave your house this evening, what we've seen and heard in your word would continue, have eternal difference in our lives. Oh, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for Jesus tonight. Thank you for my shepherd. It's in his name and for his glory we pray. Amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 300.
We sing, let's just rejoice in Christ tonight.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray.
Amen. Well, aren't you thankful for this shepherd?
Amen.
And we're just getting started. Really, last Sunday and this Sunday, I'm just trying to get us introduced to the shepherd. A little bit about him. We'll see a whole lot more as we go along here. I love Psalm 23 and trust that our love and appreciation for it and our shepherd will do nothing but grow. Amen. Amen. Well, John, let's sing.
My sin was old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned, God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow.
Thanks.